Apollo 15, we'd like to have Omni Alpha.
Roger, Omni Alpha.
Go ahead, 15.
Okay, Carl, I'm ready to talk Sim Bay, but first couple of questions.
Fire away.
Okay, what attitude do you want us to do the UV photography at?
Roger, Al. The information on the UV photos is to follow the procedures. Okay, you want the attitude. The procedures are on page 3-352, and the attitude to be used is 210,242,322.
Say the attitude again, please.
210,242,322. Also note use of magazine P, and also the time that we finish the maneuver is 247 plus 45. And let me clarify that magazine. That is the magazine for the UV color photographs. That is magazine P instead of magazine M.
Okay, understand, use the procedures on page 3-352, except change the attitude to 210,242 and 322, and this whole thing is to be done at 24745.
Roger, that's the time for completing the maneuver.
Well, what time would you like us to maneuver to that attitude then?
Roger, the time to start the maneuver is 247 plus 36.
Understand, 247 plus 36, right. Thank you, Carl.
Okay, Al, are you ready for the Simbay questions?
Roger, Carl, sure am.
Okay, first of all, the guys down here would like to send up their warmest congratulations on such a successful EVA. You sure made it look easy up there. And the questions we got are about the mapping camera, and they're directed at the general problem of was there anything you could see which might indicate why it jammed? And there are three particular items that you might have looked at. First of all, it was the main camera cover at the bottom of the camera. Was it touching or scraping the camera in any way that you noticed?
The answer to that is negative. In fact, I checked the mapping camera cover, laser altimeter cover, quite carefully to make sure, because I knew there had been some interference problems with that before, particularly with the pan camera. So I was looking at that in particular to see that it was maybe adjusted too close or interfering along the side of the pan camera, and it was not. It was about half an inch clearance between the upper edge of the cover and the body of the mapping camera. So that I don't see that was responsible for the thing jamming.
Roger. I think you very clearly put that suspicion to rest. There are also two covers to the stutter camera in the upper left side of the mapping camera. And did you notice any distortion or any scraping in these covers? There's one possibility, the one that stuck out to the left. It might have jammed, and the screw jack that controls it might have twisted it or distorted it. Was there any thing you noticed like that?
Negative, Carl. I noticed nothing out of place with the mapping camera, nothing interfering. I checked all the way around it, down into the cavity, nothing interfering. I saw no evidence of anything interfering, and it looked clean underneath, so I don't think there's anything blocking it from underneath. I don't know. My distinct impression after surveying the mapping camera and looking around the cavity where the mapping camera fits was that there's a problem with the drive.
Roger, you didn't see anything inhibiting its motion, not even the electrical cables up on the top, huh?
Negative, and I guess I could ask a question along that line. Has anyone noticed any high current when we've gone to retract on a mapping camera to indicate that it was hanging up?
We didn't see any, Al, although there had been a long controversy down here about the long amount of time required to extend and retract. It was, even though it was about the 4 minutes predicted several months ago, it was somewhat longer than what we'd observed at the Cape. People had been worrying about that for some time.
Yeah, I realize that, and I also, as I go back to what we saw at the Cape, there were some problems with that thing hanging up in the drive itself at the Cape.
Roger. Okay, a couple of questions on the mass spectrometer. You gave us some good information there, but when you said the mass spectrometer cover wasn't completely closed, could you give us some idea to what degree it had closed, to what angle, and was there any cocking, any twisting in that cover?
Well, I couldn't tell whether there was any warpage in the cover or not particularly, because that kind of a cover is it looks like it's warped anyway. It looked to me, I pulled the cover out of the way enough to look at the mass spec inside, and I could see the guide pins and, along the sides of the carriage coming through the holes all the way up so that they were plainly visible from the outside, which meant to me that the mass spec was either very close to being seated on the carriage or it was seated. I guess I don't really know how far those guide pins extend out beyond the carriage. The other thing was that the cover, the Inconel cover, was rotated about 30 degrees on its hinge point from the full closed position. And I thought at first, as I indicated when I was there, that there looked like there was some interference in one of the outer covers or one of the outer edges. But after playing with that and pulling it a little bit while I was out there, it was quite obvious to me that wasn't the problem either. And And beyond that, I couldn't see down around beside the cover enough to tell whether there was something internal between the cover and the mass spec that was binding the cover.
Roger, Al, we copy that, and would you open the X-ray and alpha covers right now, please?
Okay, X-ray alpha covers coming open.
Okay, I guess you've answered most of our questions on the mass spec, and you've approached one that we might get a little bit more out of, and that is those guide rails sticking through the guides. There is a tapered portion, and when it's completely seated, you actually see the cylindrical portion beyond the tapered portion. Did you actually see the cylindrical portion, or was it all tapered area that you looked at on the guide rail?
Okay, that's good scoop. All I saw was the tapered area.
Roger. If it was fully seated, you would have seen about a half inch of the cylinder there, and this is a good indication that it was not all the way seated, even though it was close. Here's a couple of other questions. Give me a second to look at them.
Okay.
Okay, Al. Mostly questions here about the contamination status and things in the sim bay. First of all, how about the door edges? Did they blow off smoothly and cleanly?
Yes, very cleanly. I saw no rough edges at all.
Stand by a moment, Al.
Okay.
Al, we're anxious to bring up the high gain antenna. I've got a couple of angles here if they'll help.
Okay.
Minus 76 and 117. Okay, we copied your comment on the sim bay door jettison, and further questions go as follows. The white coatings in the sim bay were, did you notice that any of them were obviously discolored or coated from contamination or overheating?
I saw no evidence of heating in the sim bay. I saw no evidence of discoloration of the white surfaces. There were, as best I could tell, no particulate matter that had come to rest on any of the surfaces in the sim bay. It looked very, very clean. And even across the top of the mapping camera where there was such a heating problem expected, I saw no indications of heating whatsoever. Particularly on things like the cover over the mapping camera cassette, which was supposedly a very hot spot. And it was just as clean as a whistle. There wasn't any evidence of scorching or contamination anywhere that I could see.
Roger. And on the insulation and foils, I guess there's a question here about were any of them burnt or discolored? You've probably already told us that. were any of them torn, or were there any attachment failures?
No, I couldn't see any evidence of any burning or tearing or anything else back there, Carl.
Okay, we got one more general question there, and our flight dynamics officer, who is vitally concerned about our reentry weight, would like to know whether or not we jettisoned more or less than a nominal 32 pounds, and if so, by how much?
Okay, stand by one. Hey, Houston, we talked it over, and I guess we'd say it was pretty close to a nominal as far as weight. We have no idea of determining exactly what the weight was, but we're going to try and work our reentry stowage over this afternoon and tomorrow morning, and we hope to give you a plan by somewhere around noon tomorrow of where all the rocks are stowed and where everything is stowed and what we have on board. So you can start, so Mr. Fido can work up his entry plan.
Roger. And if somebody has the time to copy it, I've got a small flight plan update available now.
Okay, Carl, I'll take that.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Just fine.
Okay, 246 hours and 20 minutes. We have eye gain angles of pitch 00, yaw 240. At
00 and 240.
Roger. And at 246 plus 46, we want to add change discriminator to low.
Understand, scratch discriminator high and make it discriminator low.
That's correct. And on 247 plus 28, delete that DAP load.
Okay, we already have that change.
Sorry about that. On 247 plus 30, we'd like to have the alpha X-ray covers closed, then off, and delete the note on the cover open close.
Okay, I understand the 247-30, like alpha X-ray doors closed, and just delete the note here.
Roger, and stand by 1 second. Two 247 plus 30. Also, we would like to add mass spectrometer multiplier high, discriminator low.
Understand a 247-31 add mass spec multiplier high and discriminator low.
Roger, and at 247 plus 32, we'd like to have mass spec multiplier high, discriminator high.
Okay, 247-32, mass spec multiplier high and discriminator high.
Roger, and I guess you need to save room if there's any left there, because at 34 and at 36, we want to change these two switches again. At 34, we want mass spec multiplier low, discriminator high.
At 34, you want multiplier low and discriminator high?
Affirmative, and at 36, we want multiplier low, discriminator low.
Okay, at 247-36, it's multiplier low and discriminator low.
Affirmative. Also at 247-36 is add the UV photos. And we've already sent up the changes required for that, the changes over and above what's on page 3-352. And there's one reminder there, and that is to verify that when you use filter 2, that you take one frame for 20 seconds and one frame for 2 seconds.
Roger, we remember that.
Okay, the next step is 247 plus 45, X-ray to standby.
Okay, at 247-45, X-ray to standby.
And at 247 plus 50, we want to move the PTC initiation steps from 247-30 to 247-50.
I understand the initiation of PTC to be delayed from 247-30 to 247-50.
That's affirmative. At 248 hours and 0 minutes, we'd like the following. We'd like the mass spectrometer boom retraction sequence. Each retraction step will last 20 minutes instead of 12. And terminate this test at 249 plus 30.
Go back to 248, Carl, on that mass spectrometer boom retraction sequence.
Roger.
Well, I have that in there.
I guess all we're doing there is changing the retraction step will be 20 minutes instead of 12 minutes. Down at the end of the writing there, it says each sample period will last 12 minutes. We'd like to have that at 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll change the note there, then it occurs at about 248.20. Instead of 12, it'll be 20.
That's correct. At 249.05, we'd like to move the mass spec boom deploy from 05 to 30, from 249.05 to 249.30.
Understand, move the mass spec boom deploy from 249.05 to 249.30.
Roger. Roger, and one final one at 251.48, which you may already have, is delete the DAP load there.
How do we have that one, Carl?
Okay, that completes the update. Thank you.
Thank you.
Houston, we'd like to have gamma ray gain step up 4 clicks.
Okay, that's gamma ray gain step up 4 clicks.